This is Pastor Jeff Pipa from Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas. You can find us online at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church. You're about to listen to our sermon from this past Sunday. Hope you enjoy it, and you can always find more at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. We're starting a brand new series. It's only 2 weeks long about parenting. It's actually called Being a Parent or a Kid. I want to talk to both parents and kids today. If you don't know, I actually have 6 kids of my own, and my wife and I have done foster care, so we've had like over 60 kids in foster care. I have had a lot of kids, but you're not going to be here to listen to my advice. We're actually going to open up the Bible, see what the Bible says, because God knows a lot more about being a parent than any of us in this room. Would you hear that? So we're going to listen to what he has to say about it. Parenting's weird, man. One of my kids, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. It could have been one of the foster kids. It could have been one I have right now. But one of my kids was playing on the floor. She was about a year old, maybe like 9 months old. And I saw that she had something in her mouth. And so, you know, if you got a 9-month-old and you didn't give him any food, you go over there and you check, right? So I grab her little face. I squeeze her little cheeks. And she opens her mouth up. And I see some like chocolate chips in there. And I'm like, Meadow, did you give the baby chocolate chips? She's like, no. And I'm like plucking them out. I'm like, what is it? It was little poops. Little poopies. And I'm like, what on earth? And I start to gag. I'm like, oh, that's disgusting. And so I'm like, Meadow, come here, come here. And I rush the baby to the sink. I'm spraying her mouth out and I'm trying not to puke. And my wife is laughing. She thinks it's funny that I'm about to throw up and the baby's eating poop. That's just kind of how raising kids goes. Jim Gaffigan, he's a comedian. He has a lot of kids and he has said this. Every night before I get my 1 hour of sleep, I have the same thought. Well, that's a wrap on another day of acting like I know what I'm doing. I wish I were exaggerating, but I'm not. Most of the time, I feel entirely unqualified to be a parent. I call these times being awake. I feel that. Parents, we fake knowing what we're doing most of the time. It's actually true. Like, we're fakers because we've never been in this situation before. I've got 6 kids, a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 17-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And I was talking to like my 18-year-old a couple months ago. I made a decision that he disagreed with. And I was like, look, man, I don't know that it's the right decision. I've never been in this situation before. I've never had a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old before. This is my first time. And so I don't know that it's the right decision, but it's the decision we're making. And the funniest thing is, I've had parents tell me, like when they have their first child, being a parent is so natural. I'll know how to take care of my child. All they need is love and nurture. And that's how you know they only have one kid. Because only a few months later, they'll pick up the phone and they'll be like, help me, Pastor Jeff, help me. This is not my minion. This is a gremlin and he's eating my soul for breakfast. And like seriously, we love our kids. You love your kids. And if you have children, I know your heart aches. And the reason it aches and the reason it's so difficult is because you love them. If you didn't love them, it wouldn't be difficult because you wouldn't care what happens. But the reason it's so hard is because not only do you want to do it right, but you want to do it the right way because you love them and you want them to turn out well. And I know for a fact that God has brought some of you these little humans and there's nothing more than you want in life than to help them be happy and whole and mature to be the people God wants them to be. But I also know a lot of you are frustrated. Some of you are at the end of your rope. Maybe you just had a baby and you want to know how to raise this little human for the next 20 years. And by the way, kids also, I'm talking to teens too. This series is called Being a Parent or Their Kid because I want to talk to you as well. About half of the time today, I'm going to talk to you. Most of this stuff should teach you what a parent should be like, but it's also going to teach you as a kid how you should respond. Now, if you're here without any kids today, you don't have any kids, that's okay. There's a few reasons you want to listen today. First of all, you are going to have friends who have kids who will need empathy and sometimes advice. And just because you don't have kids doesn't mean you can't give advice. Anyone who says, well, you can't give me advice because you've never been there is just stupid, okay? I mean, sometimes you can see the car wreck happening and know what should happen, and you don't actually have to be in the car, right? Isn't that, would you agree with that? Like, if you turn right, you're gonna crash. okay. You didn't have to be in the car. So you can help people, even if you don't have kids yourself, but you're going to be in growth groups with people with kids and all that. But also, this is going to teach you a lot about God, because God is our Heavenly Father. And everyone needs to hear this, because you're going to see not only how you should be as a parent and how you should have been parented, and some of you weren't parented very well, and so you're going to see how this affected your life. You're also going to see what God is like and what He expects of you as His child. So this is important for multiple reasons. Please grab your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If you've never read the Bible before, it's actually pretty easy. Just grab the Bible. This is in a chair in front of you, right underneath that chair, and turn to page 950. Page 950. Once you get to that page, you're going to see a big old six. The big numbers in the Bible are chapter numbers. So that big six is Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1-4. Now, there's only four verses right here. The Bible doesn't have like a, here's chapter 1 on parenting. Here's chapter 2 on parenting. There's just a few sentences here. But what the Bible does is use parenting as an example of one of the things Paul was talking about. Paul wrote this book. And we're going to read this in context in just a minute. But let's start by reading the parenting stuff, starting at verse 1 there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, the word for father, by the way, keep this open. Don't close your Bible yet. We're going to come back to this. The word for fathers right there, by the way, this part of the Bible is written in Greek. This actually can refer to fathers and or mothers, just parents in general. It was probably written specifically to fathers, but mothers, you can also take this advice. Now, when you're studying the Bible, if you want to understand what you're reading better, rules number 1, 2, and 3 about how to study the Bible are context, context, context. You always gotta know the context. So to understand what's happening right here, we're gonna actually back up a page. So go ahead and turn it back one page, and you'll see chapter 4 over here. The guy who wrote this, his name's Paul. And he didn't just write this family advice out of nowhere. He wasn't just writing a letter to these people in the town called Ephesus. And he's like, oh, by the way, you all suck at parenting. So here's 3 ideas. Like, no, he got to this for some reason. What is the reason? We're going to read chapter 4, verse 31. So you find the 4, go all the way down to that little tiny 31. And we're going to read through chapter 5, verse 2. Get rid of all bitterness, Paul says. Oh, anyone better been bitter in your house? All right, get rid of all rage. Wow, ever have a 2-year-old? Does that apply? You know, actually, I'm convinced that whoever came up with the phrase terrible twos didn't have a 3-year-old yet. That's what I think, all right? But could this stuff apply to being parents? Yes, but this is for all Christians, all right? I'm gonna start there, verse 31 again. Get rid of all bitterness, he's talking to us, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Right, this is his instructions to us. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, because we're children of God, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, keep that open. You can check what I'm saying and whether it's true, because this is chapter 4 into chapter 5. He's talking about be loving, be kind. Don't have rage in your house. Don't have anger. Walk in love. What does it mean to walk in love? It means every time you take a step, you're stepping in a way that is loving towards the people, towards your neighbors who you don't like. Towards your boss, who doesn't like you. Towards your friends, who are weird. Right? You're walking in love. Every time you do something, you're trying to live like Jesus would live. Not with rage, not with anger. But this also applies to parenting. How so? Well, you keep reading all the way through chapter 5. We even get to verse 21, all the way towards the end of chapter 5. And he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So because we revere Jesus Christ, because we want to honor him, we're going to submit to each other. Now, before we even get to the parenting, this is the principle that the Bible's talking about. Let's write this down. You got an outline in that chair in front of you as well. You can write this down. The principle before parenting, the love of Jesus, which we follow, combines sacrifice and holiness. It's also about compassion, forgiveness, and submission, putting others' needs ahead of our own. So this is for every relationship. I'm gonna ask you, what relationships does this apply to? And you're gonna say, every relationship. What relationship does this apply to? Every relationship, right? Compassion and love like Jesus. Yes, it applies parent to child, also child to parent. We love like Jesus loved. We wanna be compassionate people. We don't wanna be angry people. We don't wanna be bitter towards our kids. We wanna be forgiving towards them and sacrifice for each other, just like Jesus sacrificed his life for us. We wanna submit to each other. You and me submit to each other. We submit to people who are doing us wrong. This is the Christian way of life. Okay, that's what Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 is about. And then Paul gives 3 examples of how it works. He gives the example of husbands and wives. He gives the example of slaves and masters. And he gives the example of parents and children. So this whole idea of love and kindness and no anger and no bitterness, the reason he starts talking about parenting here is because parenting and being a child is one example of how this works. Are you on track with me right now? So this section of the Bible isn't just about parenting. Parenting is an example. Being a child is an example of how love and patience works. And let's be honest, it is hard to have patience with your kids. And kids, it's hard to have patience with your parents. I remember one time I had a kid. It was a foster kid. He was about 2 years old. And when you do foster care, you are not allowed to spank. Got that? Not allowed to spank. But this kid was being bad. He was naughty. And I was like, listen, you can't do that anymore. And he was like, nah, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, you better stop talking back. And he didn't obey. And like, he threw a toy. And I'm just thinking, man, if I could just spank this kid just once, it would change everything. You know, I start not thinking clearly, you know. Like, have you ever been so mad you stop thinking clearly? Right? I'm just like, there's steam coming out of my ears. I'm like, you better watch it, buddy, or I'm going to spank you. And like, he's like, yeah, yeah, spank me. And I just, ugh. He does one more thing. And I break. And I grab his arm. I'm like, you can't spank him right now. I go around the corner so nobody's gonna see it. And I grab his pants and his diaper and I pull it down and I got a handful of poop. I honestly think that was God. I looked up and I was like, okay, I get it, right? Because there was nothing about compassion there, was there? I didn't try to figure out what was going on in the heart of the kid. I didn't want to sacrifice. I didn't want him to even submit to me. I didn't want to forgive him. I wanted to punish his little butt. I wanted him to be a robot. But this is not how Christians treat anyone, much less their kids. The interesting thing is, there's a bigger picture here than just parenting versus being a child. It's about how we all treat each other, including how we relate to God. Like when we pray, we say, our Father, who's in heaven, we're talking to God as a parent. Let's write this down. This teaches us about God's nature as a parent and how we as children of God should respond to God. Because aren't we God's children if we believe? Isn't God our Father? So when we read scriptures about how the ideal parent should be, we should say, wow, that is what God's like. And when we read scriptures about how the ideal child should be, instead of just pointing at our kids, we should point at ourselves and say, that's what I should be like for God. Are these verses about actual children and actual parenting? Yes, we're going to apply it to us as parents and children. But it doesn't matter if you're a parent or not, because every verse in here is legitimately about you and God as well. Now that we understand that, let's go verse by verse and break down what we already read. Okay, we started in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children. So children, I'm going to talk to you first. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, what does it say it is when children obey? It says that it is right for children to obey. Now, this is an interesting word because I know some parents in here be like, dang right, it's right. That child better obey. Good sermon, right? When we're thinking about what it means to be right, sometimes we think about healthy. Like okay, if they do it right, it'll be healthy for them and they'll grow up to be really nice people. But the word healthy is not what the Bible used here. The Bible says when a child obeys, it's right. And the word right, this was written in Greek, and the Greek word for right doesn't mean healthy. It means that which is exactly how it should be. Like if you were to wake up in the morning and someone had made you breakfast with 6 pounds of bacon, and there's a bird outside your window chirping, and the sun was shining, but your air conditioning was set to 68. Like, it's just as it should be, right? And that's how the world should work. And like when a child obeys a parent, that's exactly how the world should work. Let's write this down. Children are to obey. It is exactly how things should be when a child obeys a parent. It's not just that it's healthy. It's how the world was designed to be. And there's a difference between being good, healthy, and kind and things that are proper and right in order. It is the way it should be for a child to obey. So children, you are supposed to obey. That is how God has designed the world. And respecting parents was such a big deal to God that in Old Testament times, he made a law about it. This is Exodus 21. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. Ooh. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. We don't follow that law anymore. In first service, I had my 10-year-old, my 9-year-old was sitting right up here in front, and I read that. I said, now, do we follow that verse anymore? And he goes, no, really loudly. Like, it's a good thing we don't follow it because we'd probably half of us be dead, right? Like so many of us have cursed our parents. Why would God make this law? Well, because the purpose of this is to reflect the relationship between God and us as well. It's not just healthy for you to obey God. It is how things should be. It is right to obey God, and it is morally wrong to disobey God. There is a moral problem. The universe isn't functioning the way it was supposed to function when you don't do what God says to do. You know, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them everything they wanted, except there was one tree there and had fruit on it. And God said, you can do anything here except don't eat that one fruit, because if you do, you'll die. And what did they choose? Did they choose love and submission to God? No, they chose death. They chose death. It was wrong then to disobey God, and it's wrong now to disobey God. And it's wrong for children to disobey parents. It's not just unhealthy, it's actually wrong. So obey your parents or kids, you'll have problems, just like Adam and Eve had problems that led towards death. But it's more than just obedience. There's another word here as well. It actually says in the next verse, honor your father or mother. Everybody say the word honor with me. Honor. Wow, that's an entirely different subject. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Now, what does it mean to honor your parents? Well, it means valuing them in a way. Every adult here, you've had bosses or kids, you've had teachers who you don't like. They drive you insane. And you can actually obey them without honoring them, can't you? Teacher might say, go do that homework. And you're like, yeah, I'll do the homework. Stupid teacher. And you're talking bad about them while you're obeying them. Honoring means not just obey, but you value them. You have obedience the same time you're trying to honor them as a person. You revere them. In a way, you're kind of in awe of who they are, and you show up by not just how you treat them, but how you think about them. Teens, you have to honor your parents by the way you think about them. It's not just obey what they say. It's, hey, when you're obeying them and they tell you to do something, do you walk away and you think to yourself, my parents are so dumb. They're probably the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Like, that's not an honoring way to think. How do you talk about your parents? How do you talk about them with your friends at school? Do you talk trash on your parents when your parents aren't around? Because how you think and how you talk shows whether you honor them or not. Let's write this down. Children should honor their parents, meaning they should value them and show it by how they treat their parents in the ways they think and act and speak. And kids, it don't matter if your parents are awesome or not. I think LeBron James is awesome because he can dunk and play basketball like nobody else, but I don't honor him. I don't walk around thinking, I got to be careful how I talk about LeBron James. I want to honor him as a human being. Like, no, like you can think someone's awesome without honoring them. But your parents, whether you think they're awesome or not, God requires you to honor them. It doesn't matter if your parents are cool or not, smart or not, friendly or not. You must honor them even when you think they're wrong. And they're gonna be wrong sometimes. But God says, obey and honor, appreciate who they are, pay attention to the things they care about, and be amazed by how they live and when they make good decisions. And you know, even if you have crappy parents, because a lot of you probably had not very good parents, even bad parents make the right decision periodically. So take note of that and honor the fact that, wow, I think my dad actually got it right for once. And honor that. You know, some of you don't have Christian parents, and you still need to honor those parents who don't love the Lord. I do advise that if your parents are really bad parents and they don't love the Lord, that you find some people in your life who are good parents, not to take your parents' place, but who you can look at and say, wow, this is what a parent relationship should look like, and I want to be like that when I grow up so that you can follow a better example. That's okay to do, and that's a good way to handle it. So let's keep going on this verse here, all right, kids? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. It comes with something. If you do this so that it may go well with you, that means you can have a good life, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You're gonna do two things. You're gonna enjoy life, and you're gonna enjoy long life. Fact, people who honor their parents live longer. People who honor their parents enjoy their life more. What does it mean to enjoy long life? A guy named John MacArthur, he wrote something down about it. I like the way he says it. The command, honor your father and mother, is twofold. That it may go well with you relates to the quality of life. And that you may live long on earth relates to the quantity of life promised. The original promise was to Israel and involved many tangible, physical, earthly blessings. But Paul's reference here, what we read, shows that it also extends to believers today. Though its blessings may not always be tangible, a family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission will have rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction that other families can never know. Did you hear this? If the parents love Jesus and the children love Jesus, you can have a peace and a harmony in that house that other families will never experience. This is a good promise. Children, you should obey and honor your parents because it's right. And because when you do so, you'll enjoy long life. Let's write this down. This is the practical application for the kids. So, first of all, decide to obey, number one. And number two, decide to honor God like a child should with their parent. And here's a suggestion so this is for everybody. Now, the kids do it with their parents. Here's a suggestion. Write down an area where I don't want to obey. Kids, I'm sure there's areas where you don't want to obey. And write how God might be trying to bring you a blessing through his command and how it would honor God to obey. So if you're an adult here, I want you to talk about this with God. Where have you disobeyed God and where should you honor God? And how might you be blessed if you obeyed God? If you're a kid, I want you to think about a way you disobeyed or dishonored your parent. Write it down and ask yourself, how could I have more blessings if I actually obeyed and honored my parent in that way? All right, we got some questions here. And you can send questions to ask@revo.church. How do you honor a parent that's a sociopath or alcoholic? Got another one. How do you honor a parent who disowns you and your children and grandchild? Someone else said, I don't think I could honor a parent that's a child molester. How do you honor your parents who are emotionally abusive? Apparently we got a lot of issues going on, huh? A lot of us were maybe raised in difficult homes, or maybe you had a kid with someone who's not a very good parent. Look, people aren't just one thing. I've done some pretty crappy stuff in my life. You ever done some pretty crappy stuff in your life? And the crappy Jeff isn't the same as good Jeff. I've also done some good stuff. Would you agree that you've done some pretty bad stuff and some pretty good stuff? I remember watching a documentary one time about a guy who was in prison, and he was in prison for life. He might have been on death row. And what struck me was someone asked what it was like to be on death row waiting for their execution. And he said, how would you like every day of your life to be about nothing except the worst thing you've ever done? I thought, wow. And so what we can do when we have parents who have done evil, wicked things, is as much as we can part them out and say, what they did was evil. What they did was wicked. But they were also, at one time, born as a baby, created in the image of God. And they did occasionally make some good decisions. And I can honor who they are, created in the image of God, without saying that anything they did was actually the right thing. I can say that most of what they did was wrong, but they still created me. And every once in a while, they gave me some good advice. Someone in between services asked me about a parent of one of their kids who had died and is probably in hell. And she's talking about, how do I not rejoice that he's in hell? Like, how do we honor him? And you know, you can honor the fact that this person created you. You can honor the fact that they procreated and created you, an awesome person, even if almost everything else they did was wrong. So you gotta part those things apart. And then if your parent is still alive and you even have a relationship with them, sometimes the most honoring thing you can do is hold them accountable for their actions. If your parent is an alcoholic and treats you and your siblings poorly, one of the most loving things you can do as a child is to say, I love you and I wanna honor you. That's what I'm gonna tell you right now. I think your drinking is tearing our family apart. When a child says that to a parent at the right time and in the right way, let me say that again. When a child says that to a parent in the right way and at the right time, it can be pretty powerful. So you can also bring accountability to your parents. And sometimes that's really the most honoring thing you can do for them. All right. How about... the older you get, the smarter your parents were. I think that's in general true. I don't know about you, but I know when I was like 16, 17, like sometimes I'm like, man, you're so stupid, Mom. I don't know why you think that. And I was like, even in my 20s, like in my early 20s, I called my parents once. I was like, hey, I'm buying a car on a lease. I'm going to lease it because it's a lot cheaper. And they're like, Jeff, I don't think a lease is a good idea because you don't actually own the car. And I was like, you're against me. And they're like, we're not against you. And I like hung up. I was super rude. And then 5 years later, the company's like, so now you have to buy the car because you don't own it. And I'm like, dang it. And now I'm 47. And I'm like, hey, Dad, what should I do for the next 24 hours? Can you give me a minute by minute breakdown, please? Like, yeah, I want to know. A couple more questions here, then we'll keep going. As an adult, what does it look like to still honor our mothers and fathers? That's great. It's different when you're an adult, but you still have to honor them. You don't necessarily, the obey part doesn't track necessarily, but the honor part does. So again, the way you think about them, the way you talk about them is a big deal. If you're thinking about your parents, and every time you think about your parents, you're like, they're so stupid. Like, that's not very honoring. But you think about them like, well, okay, they made some mistakes, but what did they do that was right? Like, that's a more honoring way to think of them, right? And so if you're an adult, actually, when I said sometimes you can hold your parents accountable, I was actually thinking of adult children when I said that. So sometimes you can hold your. How do you honor your parents when they give you a 1 hour screen time on your phone? Which one of my kids sent this in? The best thing you can do is say, gee, Dad, there's some wisdom there that I don't understand right now, but I appreciate you protecting me from the dangers of the internet. All right. And other reasons, which you know about, which I'm not going into right now. Okay, so that's all good and well, but we already know now we should obey God. This whole thing has been about how do we obey God as God's children, but let's talk about being parents now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead...
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on air for today. If you want to hear the rest of this sermon, hop on over to revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church. and you can find this sermon on our front page. Just go there, click on watch, and you can watch it on YouTube or listen to the audio. It's up to you. If you'd like to join us in person or watch online, you can go over to revo.church and find out more information about when and where we meet. I hope to meet you soon.